Welcome to the Steelers by the Lake podcast. My name is Cody, joined by my co-host, James. James, how are you on this this bland Tuesday?
Man, it's a Tuesday, but it might be a Friday for you the way work went, right, buddy?
Hey, it's my weekend.
Days off for you.
Oh, yeah, five
extended
in a row.
Weekend. Five. Don't worry, guys. We all should be wishing Mr. Cody Tanner a happy birthday here, a couple days away from his birthday.
Yeah.
And also, he's going to be doing a live stream for 24 hours straight. If you're into gaming, I highly suggest watching him on Twitch.
Yeah, twitch.tv/CodyCrow92. See you there.
Boom. Check them out.
24 hours.
Be entertaining.
It will be fun. Thursday at midnight to Thursday at midnight. Well, technically 11:59. The entire day Thursday. Yeah. Anyways, that's not what this is about. We're here to talk Steelers stuff.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Before we do anything, we want to talk about our sometimes fearful but mostly fearless leader, Ben Roethlisberger. It depends on if Terrell Suggs or Ray, it depends on who's coming at him, if he's fearless or fearful. But we want to talk,
don't blame him, though.
Yeah. Oh, I don't blame him either. We want to talk where Ben Roethlisberger is as far as career stats. And I'm going to start off first with passing yards specifically. Ben is currently sitting sixth all time in the NFL in career passing yards at 63,414. He is just 26 yards shy of one Philip Rivers, who is currently
making another baby, most likely.
Probably, yeah, a little bit.
He has like 20 of them. He's ridiculous.
Whatever.
Really happy he's going to pass him. The next category for Ben is in career passing attempts. He's currently ranked sixth in the entire NFL in all-time history with 8,293 attempts. Dan Marino is fifth at 8,358. So we're only talking about 60 attempts before he passes Dan Marino in that category and becomes number five in career attempts. But maybe one of the biggest ones that people talk about is touchdowns, right? Career touchdowns. Where is he at on that, Cody?
So he's sitting pretty at 415 passing touchdowns. That is eighth all time. Dan Marino is at 420 and Philip Rivers at 421. Neither of them are getting passing touchdowns anytime soon. So with that being said, if he gets six, let me clarify. If he gets five, he ties Dan Marino. If he gets six, he passes Dan and ties Philip Rivers. If he gets seven before this year is done, with four games left, very doable, he will bump into the sole owner of sixth all time on the NFL passing list. The only guys ahead of him at that point are Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, Brett Favre, and Aaron Rodgers. Tom Brady and Aaron obviously still getting passing touchdowns, but even if he stayed another year, I wouldn't expect him to get up to 500, 508, which is where Brett Favre is at the four spot.
Yeah, that's not happening. That would take at least like three more seasons.
Oh,
probably.
Yeah. But all those guys are either Hall of Famers currently or future Hall of Famers. So,
yeah,
very good company that he is sitting with on all those lists for sure.
And honestly, this is something that we're bringing up because we really feel like it's something that we should all kind of sit back and enjoy, regardless of the fact that the season isn't going as well as we had hoped. We're watching history in the Steelers' greatest quarterback in the team franchise, setting some pretty serious records in the list of all-time greats over all the teams in the entire history of the NFL. Pretty memorable stuff going on there, and it's pretty awesome. We also wanted to kind of put things in perspective as far as how Ben's doing this season versus some of the other AFC North quarterbacks. I think he's getting kind of an unfair rap as far as where he lists with his numbers on the season. People are trying to say that he's having an awful year, and it's just not the case. Like, for example, when we look at Lamar Jackson's numbers for this season, he has 2,800 yards passing, mm-hmm. 16 touchdowns to 13 interceptions. Nice. Can you imagine the pitchforks that would be out right now if Ben only had three more touchdowns than he had interceptions on the season?
I think if
and that's not even going into his fumbles, which he has six of.
That's fair. I was going to say if Ben had the rushing yards, maybe it'd be hand in hand. But the fumbles kind of make it, you know, meh in that situation. Tell me about Baker.
Yeah.
Let's go Baker.
Baker has 2,600 yards so far on the season, 13 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. So that's the same exact number of interceptions as Ben, but Ben has 6 more touchdown passes.
And Baker's the future. And a lot more yards
too.
Yeah, a lot more yards.
Yeah, man.
And then what about Joe Burrow?
Joe Burrow, I'm grabbing him. You're going to have to buy me a half a second.
Hey,
here.
That is fine. I think it's hilarious that people, the Browns fans are all over freaking, you know,
yeah.
Baker's everybody the answer. Everybody says Baker's Ben's the washed, answer. Right? Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Whatever.
Ben's awful. Worst quarterback in the division. So Joe Burrow right now, 3,483 yards. So he does have the most yards of the four quarterbacks in the AFC North. 25 touchdowns, 14 interceptions.
Dang.
So two of these quarterbacks have almost or exactly double the interceptions that Ben has right now. So he's got the second most passing yards in the entire division. He's got the second most passing touchdowns, and he's got the least interceptions, and he's holding a 66% completion percentage at the same rate.
Which is high, to clarify, for Ben especially. Not that Ben's, again, not that Ben's bad, but
Burrow's the only one higher at 68.8, but like, again, Burrow's throwing it as a bazillion times, and I think his wide receiver core is a little bit more impressive right now, honestly.
Currently, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
But I just wanted to put things in perspective because I feel like there's a pretty large narrative out there right now that Ben is completely washed and having an awful year and it's his fault that the Steelers aren't winning more games. Ben's one of the reasons that they've been in a lot of these games, honestly.
Yep.
I know at the beginning of the year there was a lot of dink and dunk and a lot of short stuff, but I feel like he's seeing the field a lot better these days. And as a result, a lot more points being scored more recently.
And which, as I said throughout the beginning of the season, I don't think that was all on Ben. I blamed Ben a lot for it because of the times that we discussed where he was making decisions before the ball was snapped. But a lot of that comes down to play calling. And I think Matt Canada is realizing, hey, I got to start calling plays better because I think he realizes that he's a little bit on the hot seat. Already, I think he realizes that. And I think that the play calling has gotten a little bit better. And only as recently as the last game, like second half of the last game, the play calling got a little bit better. So I look forward to that being the case this week against the Titans, that we can come out firing these shots rather than waiting till, you know, we're down 20, 28, nothing or whatever the frick it needs to be.
It was basically too late.
Yeah. So looking forward to that. Now it is time to look ahead to this week's matchup, the Tennessee Titans. Again, if you guys were listening or watching the last episode of the podcast, we said we'd be doing this today instead of on that day with the longer week, 10 days in between instead of 7 or 6 or whatever it is. We decided to push it back so we can get some more updates for you guys on roster moves, which, I mean, one recently happened as recent as 5 minutes before we started recording this. Up to date as far as at the time of 4:44 p.m. on Tuesday. So that's where we're at right now. But let's go ahead and take a look at these news before we look ahead to the Titans.
Okay, so there's a little bit of news going on here. Yesterday, the Steelers did activate offensive lineman Joe Haag off the COVID list. Mm-hmm. We saw them sign outside linebacker John Simon to the practice squad. Some lists that as a defensive end signing, but in Pittsburgh's scheme, he would be an outside linebacker. They then terminated the contract of kicker Sam Sloman from the practice squad and placed defensive back Lyndon Stevens from the practice squad on the COVID list. So with that happening, that did create an extra roster spot, which is the signing that just happened moments ago. Defensive back, and it turns out more cornerback than defensive back, Isaiah Johnson, who in 2019 came into the NFL, ran a 4.40 yard dash. So this is a guy with some serious speed. 6'2", 208 pounds, had 33 inch long arms, which is great length for a corner, 36 and a half inch vertical leap, and a 10'3" broad jump, showing some really good explosiveness too. So a highly athletic, big, very fast corner. Now going to be on the practice squad. I'm hoping this becomes a protected player. We'll probably see that later on today or maybe even tomorrow as far as who the protected players are for this week.
Yep.
But I'm hoping this to be on that list. I'm hoping this to be someone that they're able to bring into camp next year. Because like we always say, later on in the draft, you take guys that are lumps of clay. That's what you're hoping for. Measurable guys and see what you can turn them into. So let's start talking a little bit as far as this Tennessee Titans roster here. And let's see what we've got going on there.
Yeah, so Tennessee Titans, we're going to start off with the quarterback, obviously, as we always do. Ryan Tannehill, not having a crazy phenomenal year this year, but he is playing fairly well. He was also without Julio Jones for a little while, which was a big weapon that they brought in at wide receiver. But Ryan Tannehill is always a dual threat. He's not the super speedy guy that we've gone against before, but he's not afraid to run the ball. If he needs to, if he finds the space to, let me clarify, he's not going to look for that often, but if nothing's there, he has the capability of doing it better than some players that we've gone against. At the running back position, Dante Foreman is their starter, and then they have a large backfield, actually. Dontrell Hillard has gone for big runs already this year. Jeremy McNichols has also played fairly well. They have five guys on the depth chart. But again, this team is without Derrick Henry, which is very, very important. Derrick Henry is on the IR. I don't know if, James, you have anything to say about that, Derrick Henry being out or no.
No, that's huge, man. Let's be real. If Derrick Henry was in this game, it's an absolute game changer with how the Steelers' run defense has been so far this year. Ryan Tannehill, this is weird for me to say, but I'm almost kind of relieved that we're going against another mobile quarterback.
Yeah.
Because the more mobile ones, for some reason, we seem to get after them a little bit better. Other, with the exception of Justin Herbert, I don't think they realized how mobile he actually was going into that game. But Tannehill being the former wide receiver, and everything that they've always talked about him, he's a pretty athletic dude for a quarterback. He's up there with kind of like your Bills quarterback, Josh Allen.
Yep.
I look at him very similar to him, just a little smaller. So this running game has still been successful with Derrick Henry out, but at least you're not trying to tackle a tank now. So that's good.
Very good. Very, very good.
Wide receivers, we got Julio Jones here, Nick Westbrook,
whatever.
Not sure. Dez Fitzpatrick, we talked about Dez during the pre-draft process.
Yep, Louisville.
He really shined at the East-West game. Dude had a fantastic week there. Then some other guys, maybe a little bit less noticeable there. Tight end room, Jeff Swaim, Anthony Firkser, and Mykole Pruitt.
Yeah, tight ends aren't super scary this game, finally, thankfully. I think that's a big strength for us, but I don't want to underestimate them either. I really don't.
This might give them the opportunity to put an extra man in the box to try to stop the run this week.
Please.
Yeah, because this I'm looking at these guys and it doesn't really scare me that much. Julio's like 87 years old, so I'm not real worried about him torching us.
Whatever you say.
32, line, man.
That's 87 or whatever you said. I know, but
yeah, look, it's basically the same.
Listen, offensive lineman, left tackle, you got Taylor Lewan, left guard Roger Saffold III, center Ben Jones, right guard Nate Davis, and right tackle David Quessenberry. I think it's Quessenberry.
Quessenberry, don't really matter.
Yeah, again, Taylor Lewan is probably the best out of these guys on the left side. I'm really excited to hopefully get TJ Watt back and apply some pressure here. I'm not sure if we're going to see it or not. Who knows what Pittsburgh's going to do.
Sounds promising from what we're hearing, though, right?
True.
Sounds promising. In this offensive line, that is pretty much the strength of it is going to be your left tackle, Taylor Lewan. Very excellent player. Highly athletic. It's going to be a real challenge for whoever's on that side. What's that?
He's a jokester. He's the guy that they always, if I remember correctly, he's the guy they always have mic'd up on the offensive lineman for them. And he just makes jokes all the time. If you haven't seen
it's easy to do when you're more athletic and bigger than everybody else.
True. Look it up on YouTube if you haven't seen it, guys. Taylor Lewan, T-A-Y-L-O-R, and then last name L-E-W-A-N. He's hysterical with some of the stuff he says. But hopefully he won't be laughing much this game. You know what I mean?
That would be nice. Yeah.
It would. Let's go defensive side of the ball.
Let's go to the defense. What do you want? Defensive line first?
Let's go D line. I like it.
Okay. So defensive ends. I see Danico Autry. And man, this thing is goofy. It doesn't really show me the defensive ends. Do you have them?
Well, I see Autry, and then I see Laurel Murchison. I don't know exactly what they're. I believe they're running a 3-4. So they're only going to have one defensive end out there, the nose tackle, D tackle. Teeler Tart is their nose tackle. And then you have Jeffrey Simmons at the defensive tackle as well. Linebackers and Naquan is where Jones it gets fun. Too. Yep, Naquan Jones is
Jeffrey
there.
Simmons is a stud. So that is somebody they have to pay very close attention to. He'll be terrorizing our interior offensive line if they don't play well.
Yeah, he's 6'4", 304 pounds. He can push a couple bodies around if he needs to.
Mm-hmm.
And then outside linebacker, a very familiar name in Ola Adeni, previous ex-Pittsburgh Steeler. And then on the other side is Harold Landry III, a very capable outside linebacker. Both of them, Ola with his knowledge of Pittsburgh's playbook and just their players, and then Harold Landry's talent. Actually kind of nervous about those two outside linebackers, not going to lie.
There's some possibility. Landry's the one with all the production this year.
Yep.
Is he back from injury yet?
I don't believe Bud Dupree is back yet.
Bud? I think Bud's still on the IR. Yeah, so we might not have to deal with Bud.
Which is great.
This is all kind of jumbled on what I'm seeing here as far as the roster. So I'm having a tough time decoding what I'm looking at.
inside linebacker, David Long Jr. and Rashawn Evans. Rashawn Evans, again, being the more productive of the two. Look for him to be making plays at the line of scrimmage or in the backfield if on runs and play actions and stuff like that. We need to watch out for him, especially in the middle of the field passing as well. And then you go to the secondary, Jack Rabbit Jenkins, is the starting corner.
Jack Rabbit? What?
Jack Rabbit Jenkins. That's his name.
What the heck?
I believe that player had his name changed recently. Which is why you're probably, so shocked to see that. His name is actually Janoris, but people call him Jack Rabbit.
Okay.
I don't know if he legally changed it or not, but they have it in their depth chart that way. And then you also have Christian Fulton, Elijah Molden, and Chris Jones. Not the scariest cornerback room, but they're not the easiest one we've faced all year either. I think they're capable. And then the safeties, you have Kevin Byard, who is a threat when it comes to the pass for sure, and Amani Hooker as well.
Yeah, so some talent and a lot of guys that were highly thought of when they came out of the draft process. So you've got some young corners there that were highly thought of, and then again in the safety room there, there's some talent going on there as well. So possibility of taking advantage of some of these guys, younger guys are fooled with schemes sometimes.
Yep.
So if we can get some of those crossing routes going on against them that we saw more successful at the end of the game last week, that sort of thing could pop some people open again this week.
Yeah.
So hopefully we can see some of that to take advantage of some of these schematic things that could work.
Yep. And then you got special teams. Randy Bullock is the kicker and kickoff guy.
Randy, baby.
Yep. Brett Kern, the punter and placeholder, and then the punt return, and I'm assuming kick return. They actually don't have a kick returner listed. Is Chester Rogers, a fairly quick guy as well, and they do have a kickoff return. I lied. It's just labeled differently. Dontrell Hillard, the very quick and speedy running back as well. Long snapper for James Morgan Cox. There you go. Long snappers.
There you go. Morgan's a person matter too.
There we go. That's what we're looking forward to next week. Now it is time for us to go over our three keys. James, would you like me to go first or you?
It doesn't matter to me, buddy.
I'll go first. All right. My three keys. One is win the turnover battle. And when I say that, I specifically mean watch out for Kevin Byard. Kevin Byard is currently tied for third with most interceptions this season.
How many does he have?
Five. He has five.
Wow.
Yeah. So he's very, and no one talks impressive about him. No, like, you know what I mean? He's under the radar. He's tied for third with at least three other guys, Justin Simmons, Jordan Poyer. The only guys that are beating him is JC Jackson from New England. And of course, Trayvon Diggs from Dallas, who still has nine interceptions. So win the turnover battle. Number one, number two, we need to be able to open gaps for the run early and often. Najee Harris needs to be able to run the ball the same way Derrick Henry would against us. He needs to have room to get ahead of steam. James talked about this on the last episode, talking about the game. If you don't give him space, it's easy to corral him and take him down. If he has space and gets into the open field, you're going up against a freaking freight train, okay? Whether he's got to push you over, bowl you over, or run around you, he'll do it. He's very capable, and I want to see – this is my key to success. And it's very specific, but it doesn't have to actually happen, but I would love to see it happen. I want to see him beat the 26-yard run by Mason Rudolph. I don't care if it's 27. I want to see it. And then the very last thing, my last takeaway, is we need to get – our tight ends more involved. And I know that we saw Pat Freiermuth with a touchdown last game. I want to see us utilize, even if it's Zach Gentry, I want to see us utilize them. We saw them both 2 weeks ago, fight for first downs, fight for yards, make some rack, run after catch. I want to see those tight ends get involved. So those are my three keys to success.
If I talked about this on the last podcast or not, so stop me if I did. But last week's keys that I gave for Minnesota, did I recap that?
You brought them up when we went over them and how that would have impacted the game, yeah. But you can do it again if you want, whatever.
Okay, really all I was going to say is that sometimes once in a while we really nail this crap.
Sometimes.
And last week what I told you is that it was very important they pressured Kirk Cousins, number one. We got zero sacks on him. That didn't turn out too well. Number two, my key was stop Dalvin Cook. He rushed for the most yards of any running back in the entire season this year. And then my third one was offensive line success being very important, and they played like dog crap in the first half. So once in a while, myself and Cody, we know what we're talking about on this stuff. So here's what I got for you this week. Locate the lost offensive line. We've seen them. They've actually played very well at times. The first half of last week, they looked completely lost. I would like to reel them back in a little bit here, right? Let's see what these guys can do when they're all on the same page and all playing well, because they have the potential to do it. They've shown us.
Yep.
So when you're not playing well, I know that it's you guys, Mr. Offensive Lineman. It's not anything else, because you've shown us you can do it. You messed up when you played well. Now we know you can do it, so let's see it again. Number two, contain and sack Ryan Tannehill. We've got to see those numbers come back. When you don't sack the opposing quarterback, bad things happen, like you end up down 29-0. So let's make sure we get some pressure early and often and get Mr. Tannehill on the ground. Because a guy with his mobility is going to extend plays and make a lot happen on us if we don't get to him. So got to have that. Number three, score early. We cannot continue waiting until the third and fourth quarter to finally put points on the board. Got to score early, got to be significant too. So I want to see very badly us starting to get some numbers. Cody wants a 30 burger at least on there.
Listen, I want a 30 burger. I want us to score James Conner's scoring right now. I got my Conner jersey on.
He's got 15 touchdowns on the year, right?
Jeez, yeah. Like,
we don't have 15 touchdowns from our entire running back room.
No.
Like.
God, whatever.
Yeah.
Don't get me started.
So, yeah, that's what I got for you guys this week on the keys to success.
Love
it. You got anything else to add for the show today here, Cody?
I got nothing. Let's just get excited for some Steelers football. James and I will be together at a local bar watching the game this Sunday. Super excited from that. Maybe we'll go live during halftime or something. We'll be together. We have that opportunity this week. So we'll see what we can do.
If you live in the... in the area, feel free to join us in Edinburgh, Pennsylvania.
Borough Bar.
We're going to be at
the Borough Bar.
If you're right across the street from the Borough Bar.
Yeah, but the Borough Bar doesn't open for football. That's solely nighttime stuff.
So the hotel owners is Pittsburgh Steelers fan. Very Steeler-friendly bar. They got good food there and wonderful people to be around. So I'm going to join Cody this week. That's his watering hole. I got plenty of time to get out there at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday. So we're going to make it happen this week.
Absolutely.
So feel free to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. And signing out for Cody, this is James.
Peace.